Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Okay. Well, like Chris said, it has been a little while. I am so happy to see each and every one of you. I have been gone for, I think, 2 months. I came back. I'm going to talk to you about that a little, why I came back. It's part of my message, so I won't spoil it now. But yeah, I've been gone. Mexico City, is there anybody from Mexico here today? Like, other than me? Woo! Amy! Amy's from Mexico. I bet you didn't know that. Then I went to Colorado. And is there anybody from Colorado here today? Is there anybody from Texas here today? Yeah. All right. So, yes, we've enjoyed quite a bit of family time. It was just glorious, and I am so thankful that I had the chance to do that this summer after, like Josh said, 2 years of not really being around our families. So I'm very, very grateful. I feel refreshed. I feel like I'm ready. And yes, there's a fall liftoff going on, because guess what, guys? We are going back to school. We are going back to school. We are starting again. And like the song choices today were so good. Something beautiful is going to come out of something old. Isn't that wonderful? Is there any old people here today? You won't admit to being old? It's okay. Something beautiful will come out of the ground that you already walk in. And that's part of my message today. I didn't know how to title this message, but it's just called Something Beautiful. Something beautiful. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your great and wonderful faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for always being available, for always being kind and loving. Lord, today is your day, and today we believe that you are going to make something beautiful. Right here, right now. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so we are still in the Summer of Wonder series, okay? So we're going to go, if you have your Bibles today, hi everybody watching online, how are you? Comment on there, tell us where you're watching from. Can't wait to go back and look at those comments and say hi myself to you. So even though you're not here, you're here. So welcome. Acts 5, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn that to Acts 5. And go ahead in Acts 5 and go to verse 17. That's where we're going to start today. And to give you a little bit of context, Acts 5, we are looking at the beginnings of the church. We're looking at the beginnings of what it looked like, what the apostles were going through, what they were dealing with, what kind of movement they were starting. It was signs and wonders and shadow healings, people bringing out the sick so that Peter's shadow could touch them. And just it was like a lot. The church is starting. There's a lot of things happening. And so that's the context, is the church and its origins, okay? This is what we're going to be looking at. And so the apostles, they knew what they were doing. They had a commission. The Holy Spirit filled them. They were ready. They were teaching. They were sharing. They were performing signs and wonders. They were doing the stuff. And you know, when you're doing the stuff, it might ruff some feathers the wrong way. So let's read. Then the high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We find the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." What a big problem. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were puzzled, wondering what to make of this, what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him on his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, when they heard this, they were furious. Furious. They were furious because they had been embarrassed. They were furious and wanted to put them to death, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and his followers dispersed. It all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared at the days of census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all of his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will be not able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that is Jesus the Christ. This is just right out of a movie. It reminds me of like Gladiator or something. Let's go and start in verse 17. When you know whose you are, and you know your purpose, and you are doing something that is blessing others and blessing yourself, and you're being an agent of God, and you belong to God, some people will find it offensive. You know, the gospel, some people find it offensive. And you may cause some jealousy and some questioning and some bad feelings in others. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the condition of their hearts, not yours. Okay? So we are in this time where these people that, by the way, are the authority, are not happy with this new movement. So they sent for them and they put him in jail. Let me tell you this, church. Even though you're operating in God's plans for your life, it doesn't exempt you from sticky situations. Now, is there anybody here in this room that can honestly say that they have never run into suffering and trouble? Is there anyone in this room that can say that? Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that because, like Jesus said, in this world you will run into sticky situations. It's part of the journey of humanity. Are you human? You will run into sticky situations. But let me tell you this. It is not the same to suffer alone than to suffer with Holy Spirit by your side. There is a big difference. Okay, I don't know what you're dealing with today. You may feel trapped, alone, weary, exhausted, confused, tired. I don't know what your present situation is. But I do know that God is here and is ready and is still in the business of freeing his people. Okay, can I get an amen? I told you before, I'm a Hollaback preacher. So if you agree with something that I say, I need you to say yes, yes. Otherwise, I feel all alone up in here, and I don't like that feeling. All right? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. First few rows. I'm clapping. Okay. What did the apostles do when they were confronted with this sticky situation? What did they do? After they were freed, they said, and they were brought in, they didn't try to defend themselves. Did you notice that? They didn't say, you're wrong, I'm right, I didn't do this, me, poor me. What did they do? They went back to who God is and what God had told them to do. Look at what they said. They said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, notice how he didn't exempt them. He said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. He goes back to the message right away. He goes back to the gospel. He goes back to remembering what God is, who God is, and what God did. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, who you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. He is confronted. He has been just miraculously released. He's in front of this authority that is out to get him, is out to kill them. And what is his defense? His defense is the gospel. The God of our fathers, Jesus, was raised from the dead. For what purpose? For the forgiveness of sins and the repentance of Israel. What does he do there? He goes back to the source. Let me tell you, friends, there is power in the gospel. There is power in the name of Jesus. Don't we sing that often? There is power in the name of Jesus. I don't even know how it goes, but it goes something like that. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we don't just sing it because our mom sang it. We sing it because we believe it. We believe it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. He is still opening closed doors, and he is still setting his people free. That angel of the Lord came and opened those doors, and they walked out of there. And you may not be in an actual jail, but there is things in our hearts that certainly trap us and certainly stop us from entering into the full life that Jesus has planned for us. There are things that bind us. There are jails. There are chains. There are ideas. There are mindsets. There are strongholds that keep us captive. And he is still in the business of breaking those chains and opening those doors today. So today, you came to a come to Jesus service. Today, you came to a come to Jesus service moment in your life. Because whatever is binding you, and whatever is trapping you, and whatever is holding you back, I am here to tell you, it does not have to be that way any longer. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is here. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you come to the right place. You come to the right place because he is freeing captives today again. All right? So, how about when they said they were witnesses? They were witnesses. You know, being a witness is something powerful. Your testimony, church, is your right to speak and sow into somebody else's life. Did you hear that? Your testimony, your walk with the Lord, your experience, your witness is in the world of faith a seed in somebody else's life. You never know who is listening. You never know who is watching. Consider Gamaliel. Who was Gamaliel? Gamaliel was a part of the in crowd of the really VIP group back in that day. I mean, they were, if it was a conference, they would be right in the you know, front sections. He was somebody that was VIP and somebody that was listening and watching, and he listened to Peter and he listened to what they had to say. And don't you love a smart and prudent person? I mean, this is free advice, but the best thing you can do for your business, your job, your life, your friend, whatever, surround yourself with smart and prudent people that consider what other people have to say. They were ready to rile them up and bring in the whatever and let's get on with it and, you know, have them killed. And he's like, children, can you step aside for a moment? Daddy and mommy have to have a conversation. He actually told the disciples to leave the room so that he can have a chat with his peeps and said, guys, I don't think it's a very good idea to have him killed. Let me tell you why. He goes into all of these considerations and they end up listening to him because God will use the VIPs and the people that you have no influence over to influence your life. God will use people you don't even know to open doors for you. God will use people you don't even know that are watching to open doors for you. They didn't left there unscathed. They didn't kill them, but they went through some P-A-I-N. Can you spell? That says pain. Are you aware of what flogging is? It is a very painful physical form of torture and punishment. And they had them tortured. And they had them flogged. And they were instructed not to speak the name. And they went through it. And they were flogged. And their flesh was broken. And yet, I'm confused, church. Because it says that they left there rejoicing. Did you get that? Question, like, I thought it would definitely say they left there crying. They left there, went to their houses and became victims forever. No. They left there rejoicing because they were found worthy to suffer for the name. And that to them was a cause of great joy. Let me tell you something. When you know whose you are and you know that God is with you, even the most painful event can become a platform for joy in your life. Did you get that? Somebody got that. Even the most painful event can become a platform for God's purpose on your life. And sometimes it has everything to do with our attitudes. You know, your attitude is your outward expression of what is going on inside your heart and your mind. That's why it's so beautiful to see when somebody's going through something hard and they still have a good attitude, you know what that is? That is beautiful. That is beautiful. That tells you something about them more than the event. It tells you more about the person than the actual event they're going through. What did they say? They said, in front of this Sanhedrin, Jesus came for the forgiveness of sins. And you know what? Sins, church, is not a dirty word. Sins just means a stained reality of humanity that he came and freed you from and is yours through faith and repentance. Also not a dirty word. Repentance. It's not a dirty word. It just means that you are aware of your things. You're aware of your things, and you say, yes, I am in need of a savior, and I want to change, and I want to move on in a healthy way in my life, not just for my benefit, but for the benefit of my family and the generations to come after me through my lineage. God works in lineage and exponential blessings for your family. It's not just about you. It's about the people that surround you and the people that you touch on your journey here. Not a dirty word. Forgiveness of sins is something beautiful. Something beautiful. Because guess what? All of us in this room are in need of forgiveness. Isn't it amazing to know that amazing grace is for you and me? And it's so available once you realize that you need saving. I told you came to a Come to Jesus service. I don't care if you are CEO of a hospital or if you are a janitor at a water park. Imagine that. The restrooms in that place. All wet. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your job is. You are a human being in need of a savior. And that is a beautiful thing, that God saw us and chose not to leave us here on our own. Back in the summer, I did not plan to come back that one time about a month ago that I was here with you. I came back because Josh had some health issues. And it came out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere. And when he called and he told me, and the doctor painted this, I mean, guys, the doctor painted this picture of there's, you know, possible a brain tumor. Can you imagine that? I'm in Mexico City, la 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 la, in my summer with my kids. And all of a sudden, I get this phone call, and it's like my belly went to my feet. And my whole attitude changed. And I was praying the whole time. And I told Josh, I'm going back. He's like, no, you know, stay with the kids. And I'm like, no, the kids are fine. I'm coming back. And as soon as I came back, he was quiet. And we were just praying the whole time. Praying the whole time. Praying. But somewhere deep inside me, I knew that no matter what the outcome, I was going to be okay. Because either in this world or the next, Josh and I have the victory. No matter what happens with your physical body, and we believe in physical healing, but no matter what happens with your physical body, you have been victorious through the blood of Christ. You are victorious. And inside of me and inside of him, we kept just resting on that victory. God has given us the victory. And the devil is a liar. We were praying. I have never prayed so hard. I mean, I was praying in tongues all the time. All the time. Long story short, he had his MRI and we were waiting for that, and it came back clear. And literally the doctor, the special doctor that has special education of specialized ear stuff in the brain, told Josh, we don't know what happened. We might never know what happened. And in my 30 years of practicing medicine, I've only seen 2 cases like this. So we don't know what happened, but I know that something beautiful happened. Something beautiful happened in Josh's and I marriage, in our walk with God, in our faith journey. And I'm going to believe that something beautiful happened in his brain too. So when you're out and about being the church, being mom, being dad, being a spouse, being a worker, being a worship leader, being an usher, being a nurse, being, you will run into sticky situations in your emotions, in your brain, with the people that surround you, and possibly with the authorities over you. I'm here to tell you, do not despair. Do not despair, because just like the apostles were freed, and just like the apostles were witnesses, and just like the apostles were flogged and were able to rejoice, so can we. So can we, because guess what, guys? The apostles and us, we are the church. We are the church. Wherever you are, that's where God is. We are the church. And your touch, your smile, your words, your witness matters. It matters. It matters how you treat people, what your witness is in school, what your witness is in college, at work, at home. It matters. Because you never know who is watching. And get this, a smart and prudent person may be watching you and opening doors and freeing you of things you might not even know anything about. I want to call the worship team back up as I close. I want us to start this next school year with wonder. We are getting ready to close the summer of wonder. And let me tell you what is really a wonder. And I want to read this to get this right. The wonder of the church, it's not just the miracle and the expansion of what happened in the Acts, okay? The wonder of the church was not just the growth and the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but the joy of belonging expressed in difficult circumstances. See, that's what sets Christianity apart. The joy of belonging to a kind God in difficult circumstances. The Holy Spirit fills you and me with supernatural ability to rejoice in difficult circumstances. And we live naturally supernatural. The Holy Spirit joy of belonging is greater than the pain of difficult circumstances. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit joy of belonging is greater than the pain of difficult circumstances. And I know that this is hard to reach our guts here in the West, in the good old USA, because we're so comfy. But I exhort you this week to think and ponder on those words. The Holy Spirit joy of belonging to Christ is greater than whatever difficult circumstance you are experiencing today. That is because success is not defined by growth or signs and wonders. It is defined by obedience, joy, and faithfulness. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful. My My uncle died of pancreatic cancer 3 years ago. And he came to Jesus. And he prayed for healing. And on the eve of his death, he knew he was dying. And he was smiling the whole time. He was smiling. He was peaceful. Because he knew he was victorious. And his last words to the family, God is so good. God is so good. Even in death, God is still good. And your life is not over, friends. Let our sticky situations, let our circumstances be platforms for powerful witness for the name of Christ. And if you are here today, if you are here today and you need saving, you need saving, all you have to do is tell him. All you have to do is take authority in the name of Jesus and tell the Holy Spirit to break the chains that bind you. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and stand up. And we're going to close in song, but let this song be a faith witness to your surroundings and to your own life. And if you need saving, if you need to say, I need healing, I'm trapped and I need saving, all you have to do is do it. He's listening. So let's do that and then we'll close. Let's go.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. La prueba, la espera, vino nuevo harás. Ante ti yo me entrego. Camino abrirás en tus manos, sé que puedo descansar, aun si no entiendo en te puedo confiar. Rindo mi vida como una ofrenda a ti, haz lo que quieras ser tú de mí, que puedo entregarte si todo viene de ti. Yo vino nuevo, haz de mí. Make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever today. Sing that again. Lord, where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom. The kingdom is here. I lay down my old things to carry your new.
Song, because it is in the crushing that you realize something new is coming. So if you're here today and you say, I need saving, I'm aware of my things, and I need Jesus to intervene in my life. So if that's you, just say this prayer aloud with me. Just say, Jesus, save me. Thank you for the sacrifice you did. And get ready, because you're about to confess a powerful statement. I confess that you are the Son of God, that you died for me and rose again. And I accept this freedom. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And so, church, if you are here and you need somebody to hold your hand and pray for you and agree with you that those entrapments and those bindings and those chains have to cease in your life, I invite you to pray with someone today. And there will be people standing at the side of this place, of this auditorium. Find somebody. Nobody is here to judge you. Nobody's here to be nosy and know more things about you. They are just here to agree with you in faith that Jesus will intervene in your life. So please, after the end of service, go ahead and do that.
They were praying this morning. Somebody had this vision, which I think is really good for us. And it was of like dry, cracked ground. And then in some of the cracks, there was like green things starting to sprout. And I think it's for us as a people. We often want to wait, like, God to do all this thing in the soil so that it's, like, ready for growth. But he's growing things in the midst of the dry and cracked places. That life is already sprouting up. And so in your life, that my prayer for you this week is that you have the eyes to see where things are growing, even if you don't feel like you would like to. Even if the circumstances aren't ideal for what you would consider growth, that you would be able to see what he's doing, celebrate it, and speak life and gratitude for it. And as you do that this week, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you,
que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su paz.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Sigues siendo y siempre has sido extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship. We'll see you here next week.
See you Sunday. See you in prayer.